Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community. This week on MindTap, I'm investigating the impact that social media might be having on our mental health, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. Is social media a force for good, improving connectivity between people, allowing us to find new friends, promote worthwhile causes, and seek support during tough times? Or is something more insidious going on in the background? Is social media addictive, altering our perception of reality, causing political polarization, driving the spread of misinformation, or even harming our mental health? In order to seek an answer to this question, I first turned to the scientific literature. I found one study of 4,800 Chinese citizens, which investigated if social media exposure was correlated with reported symptoms of anxiety and depression. The study had two key findings. First, that mental health problems are now more prevalent during the pandemic than compared to before. And secondly, that social media exposure, which is simplistically how much social media we use every day, is correlated with mental health. In the study, the more social media a person used, generally the worse their mental health. However, this study only paints part of the full picture. It shows us that social media can impact our mental health, but it doesn't investigate why. So this week on MindTap, to help me dive into this topic, I'm speaking to clinical psychopharmacologist Dr. Ryan Manwaring and Kelly Kirkpatrick, professor of public policy at Idaho State University, whose research often considers the influence of social media.
Social media can have many negative outcomes. It can have some positive outcomes. I'm a little biased because in my industry, I tend to see all the negative things. When you view it on screen and you've got a lot of access to information and interesting details and gossip or highly action-packed stuff in the case of some of these video games, it's so stimulating, it produces a lot of effects in our reward center of our brain.
One factor that seems to get a lot of attention in this conversation around social media is dopamine. I asked Dr. Manwaring, is dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter, actually important to consider here?
So dopamine is there to reward you every time you do something that's good for you. And so when we kind of hijack the reward system by doing things that release way too much dopamine for too long of a time, it is a desensitization. Those dopamine receptors downregulate. And so jumping back into other goals, relationships, achieve goals, learn new things, have a hobby, stuff like that, it's not as interesting anymore. It doesn't release the same amount of dopamine. Your brain's always going to be pulling you back into that really stimulating environment that you can have at just a flick of a mouse.
I continued by asking Dr. Manwaring, what is the most common concern that his patients have related to social media?
I work at a place called Northwest Neurobehavioral Health in Meridian, Idaho, where I see a range of patients with mental illnesses. Most of them are adolescent young adults and some children. Most important thing to me is we can't let it affect our sleep. The two most common things I have to talk about in my clinic with clients that affect their mental health is sleep and the amount of screen time they use. This constant stream of seeing image after image after image of certain body types that really only display a very narrow range of body types or range of behaviors or what we should look like, talk like, act like, what our lives should be like. I mean, it can demolish someone's self-esteem.
Finally, I asked Dr. Manwaring if he had any practical advice for people wanting to minimize the negative impacts of social media.
Yeah, to not be using it within a few hours of going to bed. Don't use any technology while you're in your bed. Electronics and social media are so dangerous because they don't just affect self-esteem, relationships, and contribute to isolation, but they can also really, really impact people's sleep. And you quickly lose track of time, and people end up being on them 2 or 3 in the morning, and then they're like, oh, I guess I should get to bed. And that has devastating effects on the brain, especially when that goes on day after day.
Dr. Manwaring's clinical perspective was very insightful, but I also want to explore something a little less established: the link between social media politics, disinformation, and mental health. To do this, I started by asking Kelly Kirkpatrick, a professor of public policy at ISU, about when social media started to become important for politics.
So social media started to become important in politics around the 2008 election. Political candidates started creating more extensive websites and started using YouTube channels, Facebook pages, etc. And so it really became a place where people went to get their information and turned away from a lot of the traditional news outlets that we have seen in the past. People now are using Twitter and Facebook and even Instagram and TikTok for all kinds of political interaction. And that's especially true among young people. And so sometimes I think one of the biggest issues with getting political news and engaging in politics via social media is whether or not we're getting accurate information. And sometimes we're getting very polarized information that's very interspersed with political opinion rather than just straight facts and reporting. And so when we see a lot of that, it's hard for us to discern what's really happening in our world. Is our world as crazy as some of the things that we see on social media? And so we really start to zoom in on these more extreme opinions rather than sometimes the moderate truth that is out there.
But why does this matter? Why does political polarization and disinformation impact our mental health? And why has COVID-19 exacerbated this issue?
The pandemic has made everything so much worse because we're so isolated. And oftentimes our only connection to the real world is through our social media. The other part there is that we're kind of on information overload. I know when I open up my social media feeds, every other post is about COVID and new numbers, and people get really scared because they are just bombarded with that scary information all the time.
I think this gets to the heart of the issue. When we're isolated at home and we turn to social media, we're hit by polarized and sometimes embellished news. This works to push divisions into parts of our society, confound feelings of isolation, and break down a sense of community identity.
The first thing that people really need to do is check their media. If you see some weird information that comes across, double check it. Go out and look for confirmation from other sources. Not only looking at those traditional media sources, but non-traditional media sources. If multiple reputable media outlets are reporting on it, you might have a little bit more confidence in it. Before you share anything, make sure that you're sharing truthful information. So I think that really helps. The other thing I think that's really important to remember is to practice grace with other folks that are out there. One of the things that we've noticed even prior to pandemic is that people are becoming more polarized in the United States. And it's not just, I support my party and I dislike the other party. But if you look at the Pew Research polls that have come out, what they have found is people will say, for instance, I am a Republican and I really don't like the Democratic stances, but I also think that Democrats are bad people and they want bad things for the United States. And the same thing on the other side, Democrats saying, I think that Republicans are bad people and they want bad things for the United States. We all know that that's not true, right? We all are interested in seeing a better United States. We all want us to be healthy and prosperous. Democrats and Republicans just have different ideas about how to get to that end goal, but the end goal is the same.
Thanks to Dr. Manwaring and Professor Kirkpatrick this week. Next week is actually Christmas Day, so MindTap will be re-airing one of our more funky episodes, which focuses on the Dutch Iceman Wim Hof. I will be back with a new show on the Friday after Christmas, which is actually New Year's Day, where I'm speaking to Dr. Rick Pongratz, Head of Counselling and Testing at ISU. Join me, Scott Greaves, for MindTap every Friday morning at 7:35 a.m.